So we're glad that you came to the water class, and those on online, we're very glad that you're listening wherever you are through that process and learning a little bit about what Preston and I have collected. We're certainly not experts, but our intent is to walk you through the avenues of water and some other areas. We will provide a link to some other resources for you so that you can have something to look at while you are listening to this podcast. But if you look up on the screen, we're going to walk you through. Jesse did a really nice job in giving us what is the intent. The intent is to prepare, to provide yourselves, to transform from a consumer to a producer. And gave us the direction or the guidance. I felt like it was super important to actually both have a compass and a map. In order to have a direction, you need to have your intent, your map, and your compass. And so my desire, it felt like God was asking me to kind of map out, because it can be very overwhelming to think about all the attributes that you have to think through. Do I have this? Do I have that? What about this? What about that? And so I've prepared an online map for everyone to have access to. It's publicly available. And so we'll walk through each and all the aspects of water today. As you can see up on the screen, there's other aspects from shelter to defense to communication to soil to shelter, emergency, medical, first aid, fuel, and food. Those are some of the things that we'll probably address over the next couple of months. But we're going to shift over to water. And I have a wonderful support staff in the back. Libby will be my support staff. So what I felt like I needed for myself was, how do I write all this down? How do I think through what's important, what's not? So I try to put a map together of what do I have and what do I not? And how do I collect all my resources and all the information and then create a priority list? I think you did that as well.
I did. And so in any kind of training or anything that you're going to learn, at least it's helpful to me to think in terms of the map concept that Corey's talking about, is to think about what are the limits or what's the scope of what we're really trying to learn? What's the north, south, east, and west of the territory that we're trying to cover? And so in the mindset of thinking how we're going to approach a pretty broad subject, let's think in terms of we're going to crawl, then we're going to walk, and then we're going to run, okay? So we're going to start with a progressive concept of how to step into identifying a problem and then going through lots of different solutions to what that problem might present to you. And so it's not just any one specific scenario that we're going to confine any of these solutions to. You know, just last week, a 12-inch high compression gas line blew up in Oklahoma and blew a crater out of the ground and knocked out power to houses in several mile radius of it. And I was reading about it and thinking about this conference coming up, and all of a sudden, everybody has a real strong dose of whether they're prepared or not. If you want to see what that's like, go to the main disconnect where your electricity is in your house and turn your power off. I've done that. And what you do is you walk around your house for a while flipping on light switches. That's what I did. You know, and so knowing that you've cut the power to your own house, you're still walking around doing what you know. Okay, so we're going to try to avail to you some different solutions to the problem of what happens when everything doesn't just come on as simply as flipping on a switch.
So in water specifically, there are four main aspects to consider with water. Where's your source for your home or roaming around town? How do you gather it? How do you store it? And how do you use it? And what we'll do is we'll start with gathering it, or your source. So we'll start and we'll just walk through this. If you don't mind, bear with me. This was just a way to walk through. They should be able to hear me. Is the source. Where is your water source? And we'll go through some of the contingencies of water. If you have city water, you can think through, that's wonderful. Typically, the city of Weatherford has, from the lake of Weatherford, it requires electricity to keep that pressure going to your house. Typically, there's a lot of redundancies with that electricity, so you're fairly safe. But if power does go out, you got a certain amount of time before that water pressure does die off. In addition to that, if water continues, but it's more of everybody's getting sick, in a scenario, then you have to think about the staff that's taking care of that water facility. And so some of the things to consider is to monitor the water quality of the city, and if something does happen and you do have city water, do you have some storage capacity to just fill up some aspects of storage? So fill up some water from the city water as soon as possible. That way you have a little bit of a backup. In addition to that, as electricity or workers may kind of just not be at full capacity, but a little, you can think through, maybe there's less workers there and they may not be able to produce as good a quality of water, but they are producing water. So you need to at least be thinking through, how do I monitor that, or how do I offset that risk? And that can be chlorinating your water, and I think Preston has a couple of details on.
Corey and I both read a book that detailed the financial and societal collapse, governmental collapse of Argentina in 2001, I think. And the man that wrote this book lived there, and he talked about how the city water continued to flow, but the workers weren't really coming and treating the water in the same type of regiment that they were prior to this collapse happening. And so they would like come in on a Saturday, and just like you would shock a swimming pool, they would just dump all of this chlorine into the water and then call it a day, right? And so if you were drinking the water source there, you would smell all of a sudden this really heavily chlorinated water. And you can assume, likewise, that the water you had the day before it started smelling like that probably was compromised in some way. And so, you know, if you know, for example, that there is a big bank of tornadoes or something coming, if you know that it's coming, okay, in the concept of storage, resupply, and purification, and three concepts of trying to anticipate what may happen, storing some water in something like this that would go in your bathtub, which is the same concept as a drum of water. This thing fills up. I just stuck one of these in every bathroom in my house and under the counter. And so you could fill up out of your bathtub this right here. And in the scenario we're talking about, if it's real heavily chlorinated, pouring the water back and forth between two buckets basically is a way to basically, what you'll do is you'll pour the water into a bucket and you'll see bubbles in the water. That's the chlorine kind of bubbling and activating out of the water, and pouring it back and forth really gets it going and gets it stirred up. And then if you let it sit and you let that water rest for, you know, 1 to 3 hours and go and try it, then you won't typically taste the chlorine because you've allowed it to kind of evaporate up into the air.
So that's the city. Just to be thinking through what happens when that source, if you are on city water. If you're on well water, there's a couple of aspects of, is the water quality typically is going to be a good quality because you're using it on an ongoing basis. But it requires power to get the water up. Typically that well pump is a ground submersible pump that's from where we are, just south of Lowe's, it's about 350 feet deep. Over here in Brock, it tends to be a little bit shallower. If you're close to the river, it tends to be even shallower. So that's a good thing. And what we've found, if we go, Libby, can you click on the, if there's power right there on the green? So if there is power, that's good. Green is good. And you can then focus on, if there's something that's adverse happening in our society, then you can go ahead and focus on, let's go ahead and fill up all the storage things that I have to store up some water, just in case power does go out. If there's two things that can happen in power. Sometimes it can not just go away. Sometimes, like in California at this moment, there's a brownout. So there is power, but there's not as much power as needed. And so what the power company will do, well, they will rotate grids. And so everybody has some power throughout the day or throughout the week. And so you just be ready for when you do get electricity, then you're at the ready and you can fill up your whatever you're using. Does that make sense so far?
Okay. Who here is on a drilled well? Okay, most of the room. Okay, so what you have at the bottom of that hole is a silver pump that's about this big that is sitting down there. Most of them are going to be at least a half horsepower or greater. And most of them are going to require 230, which I'm not an electrician, but so basically it's not the kind of power you're going to get off plugging into the wall there. If you're running it off of a generator, for example, you have to have a large enough generator that it's producing, it's got a 240 plug. Bigger ones that you would like to use to power an RV or something like that are going to have a 30 amp plug on it. And you'll have a switch on it that toggles between 120 and 240. So it's more than you want to get into tonight, but what I would encourage you to do is find out from your local well maintenance company probably what size pump you have, and you need to size a generator to your pump. And then there's a couple of different ways of going about powering that. I'm going to tell you, in my opinion, the best way to go about powering that is going through fuses in your house. You basically put like an RV 30 or 50 amp plug on the outside of your house that's wired into your panel. And you disconnect, very important, disconnect from the grid. You have a primary disconnect switch above your panel, disconnect completely from the grid. And then you turn off all of your breakers. You turn on the breaker that powers the RV switch, and now you're back feeding your house from your generator. Now, this is dangerous, okay? You can blow up the generator, you could blow up the pump in the bottom of your well 200 feet down, or if you haven't disconnected power from the grid in that main disconnect switch, you're actually back feeding the power coming into your house. And when that electricity gets to the transformer works the same way backwards, and it will amplify the power going away from your house. And somebody from Tri-County Electric comes to fix the power down the road from him, and you just kill him. He thinks he shut down the power from everything, but you're energizing the lines down the street from you. So real important, disconnect power before you backfeed your house. And so the net result is that you're using your switchboard for some little power management. You're just turning on the power to your well and your compression tank, and just turning on the breaker that goes to your RV pump or RV switch on the outside of the house. And that's going to be the most effective way of doing it. Some people will actually put a plug somehow kind of rigged to the pump head itself. I've seen that in pump houses. I would not do that. I would run it through breakers every single time.
So if you don't have power, here are the things to consider. Look for alternative sources of water. And now you need to think through that today. If my well goes out, what is my alternative? And have a mental plan of how you would accomplish that. So if you have someone down the street that does have a generator and you've had a conversation and nothing is really going haywire, that you can go over there, you have a vehicle and or a 55-gallon bucket that you can go fill up. Think through your alternatives. And this class really is to help you think through some of the things that you'll need to think through and pray about. Okay, Lord, what are the things that I should do and what are the most priority? And as a producer and considering your neighborhood around you, am I to be a producer or an oasis in this manner to the my neighbors around me? And he will answer you on whether that is the area that you need to support. So look for alternative sources of water. If you do not have power, have a plan for that. Solar power is also an alternative, and we'll get into some of that detail. Solar power is a little bit more in depth. We can always go deeper. You can give me a ring or give Preston a ring about how that works. There are solar direct pumps that you can put into your well. The casing has to be 4.5 inches or greater in size, and you need to know the depth. You need to know everything about your well, and then there are contractors. One contractor in the area, Clay Pitts, is a very good contractor, and he has done DC pumps that you put in there on top of your well pump that you already have. But that's where a contractor needs to be handle that and do that for you. But there is a way to have solar panels and power a direct solar panel pump. Typically in Weatherford and mostly in Brock, your well head water, your static level water in your well is typically going to be greater than 100 feet. We have a hand pump option, but there's only a few of those available. And before I go into the hand pump area, you need to go ahead and open that solar power back up. The things to consider is, do I have a solar system and can it generate enough power? And like we talked about, it's equal to a 30 amp. Typically a well, a submersible well pump is equal to about a 30 amp RV plug. Just that power, that's what's needed. So that's a pretty big investment. The pumps that are DC and AC electricity are called ground FOS pumps, and that's here in the map that you can look up later. They do run about $5,000, just to make you aware, if that's an option for you.
So the most common application of a solar water production system is going to be agricultural. Basically what they do is they kind of replace the windmill concept, and what a rancher will do is they will put an array of panels out, a direct current powered submersible pump, and when the sun comes up, that pump starts running. When the sun goes down, it stops running. And basically they'll have a large stock tank that's just constantly being filled, and then a lot of times what they'll also do is plumb an overflow over to like an earthen tank on the ground, a small pond. And so that's a real common application. The gallons per minute that are going to come out of that type of system is going to be far less, like 2 or 3 gallons per minute versus what you do at your house, which is like 30 gallons. I mean, just water flies out of it. That's okay. You can always add more panels, but like we were talking about, you're adding a lot of cost by doing that, and I'm not sure that you really get anything for that. You get a lot more gallons per minute, but I mean, in this scenario, what we're doing is we're just trying to get the water to the surface so we can collect it. And you have the hand pump next, right?
Yeah, so you can minimize the generator. We wanted just for you to know a little bit of detail about what it would take to have a solar pump. It is a major investment, and maybe it's not something that you just do lightly. So your other option can be a hand pump, and that can be a pump that is put down the well casing that's already there. And there's a couple of options. An Atlas pump is a good hand pump, but that is for from 50 to 80 feet of well water head depth from below the ground. Anything deeper than that, you'll need to move to what they call a Bison pump. It's a manufacturer called Bison, and also Simple pump. Now, what I've done a little bit of research, Bison is very expensive, and a lot of the reviews say, I saw Bison, I moved to Simple Pump, which is another company in Nevada or Utah, and Simple Pump was half the cost, or a third of the cost. And so it's available, you can look this up, but Simple Pump is a company where it actually, instead of a suction, it actually has like your old-fashioned windmill pumps, where it sends a casing down and it will use a ball and leather to actually push the water up. The maximum on those simple hand pumps is about 270 feet. So the deeper it is, the more investment, and the more you won't be able to use a hand pump.
I've got I have two wells on my property, and the one that serves the house has a regular submersible electric pump like yours does, except I put the simple pump in. So you can run that in the same hole as the one that you've already got in your house. And basically when you get to the bottom of that well, you know, you're going to have your electric pump suspended in the bottom of that hole that's going to keep going, and then you have sand at the bottom. And they'll bring down the simple pump and hang it just above your electric pump. And so they're not interfering with one another. They replace the well head. That's the only part I had somebody else do, is I had a well company come in and replace the well head itself. So you have your main line coming in, then offset to the side, you've got your simple pump. And it's just like, it's just like Little House on the Prairie. I mean, you're sitting there just cranking it and cranking it and cranking it. And then eventually water comes to the top and you have a pressure regulator. A lot of houses out here in rural areas don't have backflow preventers on the faucets on the outside of your house. Now, why that matters is if you had to, you could hook a garden hose to your simple pump, run the garden hose to the faucet on the outside of your house, turn on that faucet, and pump your house full of water. Now, are you going to take a shower that way? No. Are you going to pump up your commodes? Yeah. Will you get some water in your kitchen? Sure. So you will have a way to get water into your house to maintain sanitary conditions and maintain a water source for you and your family.
So would you say in a time of need, your kids' arms would
That one right there. That one right there. He's my oldest. He's 13. Yeah, I have six kids, so he'll lead the charge. Oh, and one of the other boys is right there next to him.
Wonderful.
Yeah, they'll sit outside while I'm in there kind of getting a nice glass of water.
So you can look it up. Simple Pump. Very nice, good customer service. Yeah. I had great response when I asked the questions. They can mail all the parts to you. They're very very good about talking with you about how deep is your well, mm-hmm. what's the casing, what does it look like, and send all the parts to you. Yes, ma'am.
What was the cost of the Simple Pump?
The Simple Pump for us, when we were very deep, our static wellhead was about 250 feet. It was around $2,300, which is expensive. It is very expensive. But you think about the priority of water, and water is super important.
You can think of this as an insurance policy too. This is cheap insurance. I mean, I'd pay like $1,000 a month for health insurance, and nobody's got any problems. Well, this is pretty cheap insurance. And so for a couple grand, for 2 months worth of health insurance, you can have the assurance that you've got water no matter what. And so, you know, my insurance agent says nobody thinks about insurance until they need it, until there's a claim.
Right.
Well, this is the same way.
Did you have a question?
Well, I was going to say, if they go to that website, you can find out how deep your well is. Originally drilled, there's a public website that hosts that information.
Right.
Yep.
If you live in Texas.
Yep.
It's really remote states, I think.
So yep. We'll have it up here on the link. Absolutely. We'll send it to you. And you can call if you remember who produced your well, they should have also records, and they should have enough good customer service to answer the question, hey, how deep was the well? Where's the well head depth? And where is my actual well pump in the up and down?
And if you call most well drillers in Parker County and give them your address, like in 30 seconds, they'll tell you, well, the three other wells that are around you are all at 180, 170. I mean,
yep.
They just have that information right there.
Yep.
I called Malone Water Well this week about drilling another well, and Leanne there just instantly knew three other wells in a stone's throw from my property and could tell me the depth.
So we're talking about the source of water and how you would get it. So we've talked about city. We've talked about how to get it from a well. We need to definitely talk next about rivers, lakes, creeks, and open ponds. As you probably already know, you want to have a resource that has active water. You don't want to use water that's stagnant, even if it's a last resort. You want to make that the very last resort. It's for obvious reasons. Bacteria and everything that your body does not like is in that. So we're lucky that we have the Brazos. We're also lucky that we do have some creeks that do flow, so we're very blessed with that. And if there's a pond that has open water that constantly will have some ripples and looks fairly fresh, that's okay. You just don't want a really tight creek that's just got moss all over it and it's just sitting. So those are resources. Just be thinking. Get on Google and look on your house. Look for the closest ponds.
That's right.
And just kind of map out how far are they, what would I do, and how would I get it out.
That's right.
And so you have a couple of pumps to think through. And then how would I carry it back if it got to that point? Mm-hmm. Any questions on that? It's fairly simple.
That's a great point, and that's one of the things I was going to challenge you at the end to think about, is to go to Google and just find another water source. Anything. I mean, a lake, a stock tank, whatever, find another water source near you, and now you have doubled your ability in a time of need to be able to retrieve water from another source. I mean, it's a great, great piece of advice.
Any questions on source or finding water?
Providing the
light on your end. You are running a risk, absolutely. Any questions or thoughts on source? All right. So we'll go to filtration. Yeah.
Okay.
So filtration, if you have power, you should be okay because you're getting your water normally. if you have power but your well's not working, you'll typically have a home filtration system if you're in this county to get the hard water out. So yeah, you're good to go on the well. If you do not have power, and you're pulling water from another resource, you need to filter that water, obviously. And what Preston and I will do is we'll walk through a couple of the options of filtration. But the things that you need to think about is, if I have no power, use gravity, use my storage and gravity to our advantage. And so we'll walk you through a couple of filtration options for you, some that are fairly expensive and some that are not, to give you options.
So the two bacteria that are going to be most prevalent in water are going to be Cryptosporidia and Giardia. And then the most common virus that's going to be found in water that's infected is going to be norovirus. Now, without getting into the medical side of all of it, I can tell you all of them are basically going to do the same thing, which is they're going to handcuff you to a toilet. And that's going to drain your energy. That's going to drain all the water out of your body. It's going to make you ineffective in going to get more water. You're not going to be able to drink yourself to success. And so now you're thinking about, do I need antibiotics? And what kind of antiviral, you know, medication do I have? It's just not a place that you want to be. Now, the good news is a water molecule is smaller than a virus molecule or a bacterial molecule, like by hundreds and thousands of times. So we can effectively filter and we can effectively treat through a couple different kinds of chemicals water to get it to where it is more than reasonably safe. And so we're going to go through a couple of different ways of doing that.
Anything else about filtration before we walk through the pieces?
No, well, let's just walk through it and talk about pre-filter and stuff
okay.
like that.
Why don't you take it away?
Okay. So, the first and foremost, in thinking about the north, south, east, and west of what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, I want you to think about the fact that if you take water and you heat it up to the point of being a rolling boil, you've killed everything in that water. In fact, by the time it gets to a rolling boil, you've killed everything. So you take a cooking source, whether it's a rocket stove, if you've got no power and this is a real bad scenario, or whether you've got a campfire or the fireplace in your house, you can heat that water to the point of being okay to drink. Now, I'm going to tell you also that if you're getting your water from some type of questionable source, like a swimming pool, okay, so there's 16,000 gallons of emergency water at your house, if you've got a swimming pool, roughly, okay, 14 to 16,000 gallons. And so what you're going to want to do is pre-filter, and pre-filter can be, a t-shirt, it can be, what you're trying to do is strain large particulates out of the water. Because what the filters are going to do is they're going to strain small particulates. You're trying to attack viruses and bacterias and protozoas with the filters that you're running on some of these things. But the leaves and the acorns and the dirt, okay, we want to capture that in a pre-filter. So think in terms of how do I get from big molecules to small molecules. And so looking at different types of what I call a hollow fiber filters, you're talking about Sawyers and Life Straws.
Now, so you want to talk about mobile filters first?
Yeah, sure.
And then
like from smallest
home?
Size, smallest to
yeah,
size.
Yeah,
okay.
Small,
yeah. You've actually got one of the real small ones over there, don't you?
So we've been talking about home over the last 30 minutes, but we'll switch to just mobile or just have with you at all times. There are a couple of ways to clean or make water ingestible. One is a way to actually treat it. There's also pills that you can put in, iodine treatment. It still affects you, but it does kill everything in it. And that's a source that goes away. You can use that up for fairly quickly. So either have a whole bunch of those iodine pills that still purify the water or kill everything in it, or have a more mechanical filter. And that's what these are. And so this is a backpacking filter. It has a pre-filter in the front, and you can pump it just by pumping your hand. And this is Mason's, my son's. And so the ceramic filter that's inside he puts it over a water bottle, and he puts this into an area that is not stagnant, but is running water. And he can pump a two of these water bottles within 3 or 4 minutes. So it's super nice. This is made by MSR, and it's available online or at REI in Fort Worth.
So this is the same concept as that. This is the same structure, just in a different form. This is your filter. You're going to get the questionable water. You're going to pre-filter it. You have it in here, and then you've got a water bottle, okay? And this is a sport Berkey. This is stick in your backpack, stick in your car. The directions with this say that each sport Berkey filter provides 160 refills. You can run 160 bottles of water through that before using raw or untreated water, or about 640 refills using everyday drinking water. So if you've pre-filtered your water, and we'll get into treatment stuff here in a minute too, if you've treated your water, this is excellent. This is like $30. I mean, this is an excellent tool to have around.
One other company that I feel like does a really good job is called Sawyer. They're a pretty new company, if you've ever heard of them, Sawyer. They were a spinoff, and so it's the same mechanical filter. You basically, this is your dirt. It's a bag. It's a plastic bag that you can fill up in whatever water that you're acquiring, and you screw the filter onto the dirty bag. And you can do one of two things. You can actually have a very big bag and run this Sawyer filter as a gravity feed. And it comes with a tube, and it can go into a larger milk jug or a larger water source. So you can have a big bag, go through a filter while you're sleeping, and have clean water after. I've done that on backpacking trips. If you're empty and you need it quicker than that, you can press this plastic bag and push that water through and fill up your water bag or your water bottle fairly quickly.
What Corey's got in his right hand, that canister right there, here's a larger version of it called the Life Straw. And this literally, I mean, you put it in your mouth, stick it in the water, and you drink. You suck straight through that. And that is the same thing as that.
This, in my opinion, is last resource.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to have to suck on this just to get water.
Yeah, you're going to be, you know, and there's no pre-filter, obviously.
Right. Any questions on the backpacking style filters? Okay.
A more expensive option?
The larger base camp filter is
Katadyn. Katadyn, yep. Right here.
Base camp filter. So, you've got a mechanical pump now associated with it. You've got line in and line out. You've got filtration. And you've got a whole package worth of different chemicals here that are going to be either a chlorine or iodine-based chemical that's going to kill the virus or bacteria and protozoa in your water prior to doing it. It's even got an attachment here that will work in conjunction with a camelback. If you're wearing a camelback and you don't want to take this off and you're going, you know, across a piece of property, if you're going for a long distance trying to get home, you can rig this up to where you can kneel down by the water and you can actually stick this in your water source and you can pump up the camelback that's on your back and then disconnect it all and not have to take any of your rig apart and then keep going. That's a more expensive option, but that's a pretty nice piece of kit.
There's one other that I have not experienced, but I heard a lot of good things. It's called the Grail, and it's a cup in a cup. And so what happens is you would fill up a cup of the dirty water, and you put the filter on top, and you would press the filter through, and then the top is drinkable. So it's another option. REI does carry that. Mountain Sports in Fort Worth also carries that. So there's a bunch of mobile options. Any questions about mobile water filtration options? If you're talking about a bag or a backpack that you have in your car that you want to carry around, I typically have a bunch of Walmart water bottles that are in the bottom of the backpack. I don't have a water filtration in my little truck bag, but it would be something that would be advisable if you wanted to do that.
So we're transitioning now from stuff that you would carry in your hand or stuff that you would specifically use at a water source. The thing's a little bit larger. This is about as large as I want to carry around. I mean, that's 7 gallons of water. And so you would fill this full of water, you would pre-filter it, filter it, treat it, and then this is just like, you know, a little igloo thing like you'd have at a picnic, and this little deal goes on the inside of it, so you can close this up and actually carry it, stick it underwater, and then close it up, and it'd be watertight and airtight. The other kind of nice thing about these is that they're designed to stack. So if you see that handle right there, it fits this right here. So you can just stack them high in the corner of your house or your garage or whatever. And this is designed ideally to be portable, but how long do you want to walk with, you know, 7 pounds or 7 gallons of water? But you're kind of transitioning now to something like this. This is a pump. This is a Augustin Farms water storage barrel and pump kit. Got it off Amazon. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. It's basically a 55-gallon drum with a removable pump that goes down into the bottom of it. How are you going to fill that up? Well, different things are readily available. Here's a siphon, just a basic siphon. I used to watch my granddad suck gasoline out of his pickup truck to fill up his lawnmower, and he knew when he got the gasoline to the point where he was spitting gasoline out of his mouth. I don't want to do that. So here's just a basic hose, basic siphon. And then this is actually made for boats. This is a manual bilge pump. Stick this thing down where the water is and start going. And so, you know, I'm trying to give you different mindsets and different options of, if you've got this someplace where it's in the back of a vehicle or bed of a truck or something like that, how are you going to get the water into it? Try doing that sometime. Try just take an hour on a Saturday and try to move some water and see what kind of obstacles present themselves to you. You don't really kind of realize it until you get home and you've got a 55-gallon oil drum full of water in the back of your truck, and you're like, well, what now? You know, what do I do now? So just give it a whirl once or twice and see what it takes to actually get some of this done. This thing right here, it comes with this pump. It comes with a wrench that opens these bungs on the top, and it comes with water treatment chemicals. So, and I don't remember what it cost, but it wasn't that bad. So I got a couple of them.
Question.
Yeah.
You mentioned, like, you filled up the 7 gallon one and had it in your garage over there. Like, how long does water keep? Let's assume it was clean when you put it in there.
Yeah. So if you call the Ozarka company and you ask them how long Ozarka bottled water is okay out of the sunlight in an Ozarka bottle, they'll tell you 2 years. Okay, that's water that's been heavily chlorinated, charcoal filtered, and it's sealed, and as much oxygen is pulled out of that thing before they seal it, and then you're storing it out of the sunlight because sun is going to grow organic things in that water. I've got Ozarka bottles that, I mean, I've had for 5 years, and I'll try to cycle them out, and I'll open them up, and I'll try them, and it just tastes like water that's been in a plastic bucket for 5 years.
I mean, just stale water.
Yeah, just stale water.
Hey,
question.
Yeah. Sir.
Yeah, I live on an acre out in the country. You can't drill a well in like that, so I'm paying on maybe, a very 1,500 gallon, 2,000 gallon tank.
Yeah.
So they got a mirror of black piece of water that's above ground. So, and they can get, I get a pump for that. Is that wise?
If you treat it, you can treat it however you want to handle it. And there's a couple of things. We'll go to the storage section. But there's a couple of things to think about. One, use gravity as your friend. If you have a tank and you have a choice between a clear tank and you putting it in the ground and a black tank that you can stand up next to a roof line, use the black tank. Because if you fill it up, you should have gravity be able to have some pressure, and when you open the valve, water will come out, and you can use that in a bucket. That would be my suggestion. Oh, okay.
Why would you bury it?
Maybe homeowners association?
Okay.
Okay, fair enough. So then bury it, and then think.
It's not going to matter if you bury it.
It's not going to matter. And it'll be cold, which is good. The earth will be used as a heat sink, and it'll stay cool, which will be a very positive thing to do.
You might want to read very carefully about how to backfill around a buried tank, a plastic tank, because the lateral pressures of the earth are going to crush that tank. If it's not full, kind of like a swimming pool, it's not good to drain them. Same kind of principle. I've got a couple of the big plastic tanks. I've got a 2,500 gallon and a 3,000 gallon, and then I've got a concrete 3,250 gallon that I fill up off a windmill. And so you're talking about tanks that are, you know, like that. And, you know, as big around as this right here between me and where the chairs start. And you'll get down to about 4 feet of water before you don't have enough head pressure to really move water around. I use it to water livestock, and I planted a bunch of fruit trees and stuff around one. And so I put lines around. And the guy that helped me do it actually mocked up a scale model of that size tank to determine how much water we could put in it and expect to get out of it before we went to all the trouble of doing this. And so as long as the tank is full, you know, what's that? You know, 1,500, 2,000 gallons of water that you can move around your property, move it to your house. And I went with the concrete tank by the road up at the front of my property because, I mean, a plastic tank, I mean, that's a 16-year-old kid and a 22 rifle away from being a colander. So, you know, those things are, it's just plastic. So there's a company down around the Hill Country, down around Fredericksburg, I think, that made my tank, and they come out and they set it on site in three precast pieces, and it's just another option when we're talking about real large storage. But I spike mine. I'll use either an iodine-based material to spike it, or sometimes I'll just use vinegar and drain the tank, throw vinegar in there, stir it up, suck it out, and flow it again to the
cabin. If you were to start off with storage to start with, just enough. You know what? Okay, I feel good. I got 55 gallons of water in the garage. You can start with going on Craigslist or going on Facebook Marketplace, and there will be food grade 55 gallon barrels that you can get for fairly cheap, from 15 to 20 bucks. They're used to ship different foods around, grains and things like that. In Greece and some other things, but typically the ones that they're selling have been cleaned. You definitely want a food used or a brand new. Either one, the price difference is not that much. And so you can buy a brand new one, and you can put this in a barn, or you can put it in your garage. Say you had four of these, you have 200 gallons of water at the ready, and that's a lot. If you're 3 gallons per person per day, that's a good almost month for one person.
And that's a good point, that number that Corey just threw out there. I mean, let's stop for a minute and ask, how much water do you need? Well, there's no, like, golden number that says you need this amount of – every single person in the world needs this amount of water. You know, do you drink a gallon of water a day? No. But you probably use, I mean, I've heard numbers that say that the average American uses around 100 gallons of water per day. You think about every time you flush the toilet, there's 1.6 gallons. Every time you take a shower, what, one, two showers a day, there's like 30 gallons, you know. And so we'll use a lot of water on a normal everyday basis. But the period of time where we're talking about, where this is happening and whatever situation has occurred, you're not using the water in the same amount. But you want to try to forecast how much you think you're going to use for drinking, how much you're going to use for cooking, how much you're going to use for cleaning. I mean, what killed everybody in the Civil War was infection, was sickness. It wasn't combat casualty. It was a bunch of people that were coughing all over each other and drinking questionable water. There's a lot of theories as to what happened to the colony at Roanoke, but one of the theories is that their latrines somehow mixed with their water source, and everybody got real sick. So this is a real danger, and what I would encourage you to do is kind of make a list of everybody in your family and see what your water needs are going to be for cleaning, for cooking, for using the toilet, for drinking, and then whatever that number is, let's use that as a goal, as a daily goal, and then ask the question, how long do you really want to stick it out? How long can you live without water? Just living. How long can you live without water? A couple days, 3 days?
Yep.
Okay. If you had to right now get in your car and go home, do you have 3 days worth of water at your house right now? Okay, well, here's the good news is this. You do. You have probably a 40 to 50 gallon water heater in your house. If you hook a garden hose up to it and open up the valve with a wrench, you've got 40 gallons worth of water, 50 gallons worth of water right there. So the good news is you pretty much always have a recycling 40 to 50 gallons of water, not even counting the back of the commodes, the clean water tank of your toilets. So you've already kind of really got a good setup, no matter whether you're on a well or city water. So think from there how you're going to store water. The next step up from the 55-gallon drum is a 275-gallon tote. You've probably seen these. It looks like a metal cage.
Yeah, big cube. It's got a metal cage around it. Usually the plastic is clear. It's a frosted milky white. Yeah. And it's something that would not be able to just sit outside because it would be the water would be exposed to light. So it will typically start growing some things if it's not used fairly quickly. But it is bigger, and they are available at purchase quite readily. So you have a couple of those, then you have up, 900, you have 1,200. If you had four of them, you have 1,200 gallons at the ready, if that was something that you desire to do. So these are just little stair steps. For me, I wanted to say, okay, I wanted to be okay for a day. Mentally and emotionally, I couldn't think about everything. And so I felt like, okay, I just need to, can I do a day? And then, okay, how do I go from a day to a week? And it helped me get through that process of, okay, I can accomplish great things just by step. So I encourage you, don't feel like this is overwhelming. Just take it. And that's why we're trying to provide a little bit of a map. Say these are the things that you can do as a step-by-step process.
Those cubes that we're talking about, you're generally going to find them labeled. It's a Craigslist thing, and you'll find them food grade and non-food grade. And so the food grade ones, most commonly, those are going to be used to transport chemicals for soft drinks and food additives and stuff like that. It's still not something that you want to get a spoonful of, okay? So they say that they wash those out before they sell them, but don't trust that. The main lid on the top of it's almost this big. You can get your arm down in it real easy and just spend a good period of time washing that out, put some dishwashing liquid in there and fill up just a little bit of water and rattle that thing around. I can move one by myself. They're designed to be lightweight, but don't buy the ones that are not food grade.
Stepping a little bit beyond just the little totes to other water tanks. There's a wonderful couple that's in Willow Park. It's called Rainwater Harvesting Supply, and they can order you a water tank that has a rainwater catchment filter on top for typically around 50 cents per gallon it holds. It's kind of a rough guesstimate how much it costs. And they have a 200 gallon little tank that sits, under your roof line that you can put your gutter in they have 10,000 gallon tanks. Anything beyond 3,000 gallon tank, a wide load delivery truck has to bring it because it's too wide. But 3,000 gallon and below, anybody from Tanner to me to some of the guys in the church, if you want, we're available. We'll go pick it up for you and we can haul it. Or that guy has a guy who will pick them up and deliver them to wherever you need. Really great guy. His name's Jim, and he'll walk you through. You can go to his house, and in the back, he's got all the gear. He'll walk you through and teach you. He'll talk with you about what your house scenario is, what are you trying to accomplish, and he can walk you through that. He can customize the tank to your needs. So if it's a large plastic, black or gray, or they even have brown. If you want a faucet at the bottom and then one about knee high to put a bucket underneath and open up, you can put one of those in. So it's pretty customizable. It's a blessing that he's here and he can really work with you on the needs. There are sometimes the manufacturer will have a blemished tank, and typically it's about 30% less. So every once in a while, he's on Craigslist. He'll promote those blemished ones on Craigslist, and just kind of keep watch. That's a great resource that we have available. And rainwater harvest supply.
So, and a lot of people are using that to water a garden, to water their beds. So you're kind of you're constantly using that water, which is good because you're not having just old nasty water storing up outside your house. Your roof, let me see, I think I wrote this down. 550 gallons of rainwater. So think about the square footage of your house, and then you have a pitched roof, so you've got a little bit different than the square footage, but roughly every 1,000 square foot of roof area per 1 inch of rain will collect 550 gallons of water. So 10 of those off an inch of rain. So it's an amazing amount. In fact, you can go just north on 51 and go to the USDA building north of the courthouse, and you'll see a building that's rigged up with a water catchment system like what we're talking about. And just kind of study, you know, what it looks like and how they have valves and stuff and how they have mosquito traps on top of everything there. And you go in and talk to them about it, they'll talk your ear off. They'll tell you anything you want to know about it.
So those are some resources right here that we pay our taxes for, the USDA, to provide any information on that if possible. Any questions on that?
Yeah, on tank sizes, you know, like I think you were telling me you have some of the larger ones, but they're harder to move without having a mechanical, like a tractor or something. What's your recommendation?
Yeah, so I found that the difference between a 2,500-gallon plastic tank and a 3,000-gallon plastic tank is the difference between using the tank or the tank being at the bottom of your property doing nothing. And so a 3,000-gallon tank is just too big. I've got an L-Series Kubota, and I couldn't really move it. I could get it off the trailer, but that's about as much as I could do. So I've got a spare tank. But the 2,500-gallon tank, I could actually put that on a fork on the back of the Kubota, and I could strap it in real good, and I could move it around the property. I mean, you and I could probably move it. We could tip it up, and we could roll it. So I wouldn't go larger than 2,500 gallons. And there's actually a Mexican company named Rotoplas that has a manufacturing facility in Fort Worth. It's one of the largest manufacturers of plastic tanks. Substantially better than the quality of tank you're going to find at like Tractor Supply. A lot thicker plastic. The ones at Tractor Supply, I mean, you can just kind of nick them, and the tank's, you know, got a hole in it. These Rotoplas ones are real, real super thick, and you can buy direct from the factory. So Rotoplas, and their factory is in South Fort Worth.
Is that the same or different?
I'm not sure about
there
that.
There was some consolidation of manufacturers, yeah. So think about your home. You can collect in your home. If you don't have gutters, there's, of course, gutter material. It doesn't have to be pretty. It can just be bolted on. And I know that there are a lot of handymen in the church, or handy women in the church, that would be more than happy to help anyone who would like to think through where would I put a tank, how would I collect the water, and to put that up. And I'm certainly available. Mason and I are certainly available to provide the services and the thought to think through that to help you out. Yeah. So the question was, she had the 100-gallon little garden rainwater barrel that is connected to the gutters. Yes, you can have a mesh screen. So there are a couple ways to do it. You can go buy a mesh screen to put on a gutter. You can buy on Amazon a mesh that catches, and actually Jesse has one at his house where the water comes in. Huh? It would be right on top of the barrel, yes, ma'am. About 8 inches wide, yeah. There are multiple options out there for you, yes, ma'am. It would not be a filter in order to drink, but it is a filter to get all the debris and all the extra stuff out. Yes, ma'am. Great question. Yes, ma'am. When you're collecting on a barn or a house, you do need to think about, you have birds and you got all kinds of sediment that does land on your roof. And so, is it clean? Yeah, it's pretty clean. And when it comes into a larger tank, it does settle at the bottom. And so when you pull water off, it typically is water that's after post-settlement, which is a good thing. But you still, before you drink it, you need to filter it through one of these filters. And I know we kind of merged over to storage, but I want to shift real quick back to two common home filtration bucket systems. One bucket system is called the Berkey. It's been around for a long time. They're fairly expensive. You put the water in the top, the gravity will push it through, and you can see there are filters, ceramic filters that are bolted in there, and the water will go through those filters and go into the bottom bucket, and then there's a, just like an old coffee maker.
Just charcoal filter.
A word of warning, these are very expensive, and right now they're a little bit short supply. Okay, so Kayla did her magic as usual and found an alternative. The Texas Baptist Men have a resource that they use for all of the tornadoes, hurricanes that domestically they use, they bring in to have a clean water source for them and for others. In addition to their international missions, they have a filter that goes with them to leave to have clean water overseas. And so there's a manufacturer in Italy, Texas. Their distribution and sales are in McKinney, Texas. And it is a small little box, and we have them here for sale. The church has pre-purchased them, and so church is not going to make anything off of it. But we wanted to go ahead, and we had to buy in bulk to get a couple of big boxes, cases worth. But this has a ceramic filter with a pre-screen. We talked about pre-screening. This is a fabric pre-screen. And the gear in order to have basically a Berkey replacement. It's going to be a little bit more cumbersome, a little bit more rudimentary, but it's still the same thing. So what I'm doing is, for everybody online, I'm showing them this bucket system. You have two buckets, paint buckets, or whatever you call them, Lowe's or Homer buckets. And the top bucket has this filter inside, but the spout from the bucket has seals in which it goes through the top lid of the bottom bucket and the bottom of the top bucket, so that the water, through gravity, while you're sleeping, will go through. Sorry, being loud. We'll go through, you can see the bottom of the filter. And that will then drop into your other, the lower bucket of clean water. Of course, once you get this set, you want to make sure this water moves over here, this dirty bucket stays out of the way, and you keep this clean. Make sense? Okay.
Same concept as this, but probably a tenth of the price.
So,
same thing.
I love it because this is mission at work. This is $25, right, Taylor? The filter is $25, and then you can go get your buckets at Home Depot or Lowe's, or you can actually get them on Amazon. Any bucket on Amazon, wherever you want to do, wherever you want to access it. But you do need two lids, one for in between the two buckets and one for the top.
What's the lifetime compared to a hurricane?
Yeah, this is, I can't remember exactly. It's over 100 uses before it needs to get backwashed. So it's a long, long time.
And depending on your water source, pre-filtering it is going to make a huge difference in how long the filters last.
So if it's not clean at all, it'll work for a year. If you've got pre-filtered water, it'll last that filter, it'll last 2 years.
So I'm calling. It doesn't say.
Is that drink more than one last?
So Danny Cookenarrow was making a joke that he drinks more than Lanessa, so I'm not going to ask what he drinks, but if you filter Coca-Cola, it'll last a couple of days, but if you filter water, it'll last a year. But I will say, just like Preston was saying, any filter, any ceramic filter or charcoal filter that you have, you will need to maintain it. And do your best to do your filter a favor and get the cleanest water possible. Cheesecloth, other cloth that you may have, run those filters through. And when you introduce the water to the actual ceramic, which is the final filter, you do it, you're lengthening the age and the use of that filter. When it becomes where it is not draining through, then what you'll need to do, and it without power, it's going to be pretty tough. You'll have to backwash this and push the sediment out of the filters, which can be pretty hard to do if you don't have pressure in your water in your house. So I like this greater than the Berkey filters because one, it has the pre-filter on top. These do not. These are a little bit long and lanky and can get broken. This, I like the compact nature of this. And this can be an option for you to be a contributor or a producer for others in your neighborhood. It's a $25 filter, and you can consider, maybe I need to get one for most of my neighbors around me. They can still use a buckets they have around. They'll have to clean them, but they need this. And so this is one of those ultimate gifts if your neighbors don't have or others don't have this at the ready. So just something to consider as a blessing to others, as to be an oasis for someone else. Okay. Anything more on filters?
So kind of transitioning from filters and then just touching on water treatment before we go to the next topic is this is going to be one of your biggest bangs for the buck. This is 1 pound of pool shock. And so you have to very carefully handle this stuff. It doesn't store very well, but this is a lot better than storing bleach. Bleach just in a bottle is going to lose its potency and effectiveness. In fact, bleach will only really store for about 1 year. You open a bottle of bleach, it's been there for 2 or 3 years, and it's just water. So, but this, on the other hand, this will store as long as you keep it away from a water source. This actual stuff, this plastic it's in, is somehow permeable, even it being plastic, and water will still get into this, just the humidity in your house even. The reason I'm going into all this is because this will produce a toxic gas in your house if you store this in your kitchen or something.
So what is that?
This is just pool shock. It's a 1 pound bag. And what you're basically making with pool shock is bleach, okay? Then you use the bleach to disinfect your water. And the net result is this 1 pound of shock right here will disinfect 10,000 gallons of water. So that's a huge amount of water in something that, as long as you store it effectively and keep it absolutely dry, is going to store significantly longer than bleach will. Basically, what you would do is you take 2 level tablespoons, to give you the idea of the ratio, 2 level tablespoons of this with 3 cups of water. Now, that don't drink that. That is bleach. What you're making is a Kerr jar full of bleach. And so you get 2 level tablespoons of shock with 3 cups of water. You've made bleach. Then with the bleach, the ratio that you would use to disinfect water is tremendous. 1 quart of water is disinfected with 2 drops of bleach that you've made from your shock, or 1 gallon of water with 8 drops. So you think about that, you're going to make that last absolutely forever. And I'll tell you, a pretty decent hack on storing this is, rather than getting a 5 gallon paint bucket of it like I did, buy these instead. This you can compress down into an actual Kerr jar. The top of a Kerr jar lid has got some type of wax or plastic on it that this is not going to rust. This will turn the inside of your, if you got a metal garage, this will somehow rust the inside of your building like just, you wouldn't believe it. Ask me how I know. And so put this inside of a Kerr jar, put the lid on it, seal it up tight, and then once a year open it to kind of release the gas, because this will build pressure inside there. But as long as you do that, you've got your jar now that you're going to use when the bad day comes to make your bleach. So you've got your storage facility and you've got your bleach facility all in one jar. Going from there, you've got, there's basically two types of what you see water purification pills. One's going to be a chlorine-based pill and one's going to be an iodine-based pill. Both of them are basically going to work the same way. To get kind of down into the fine tooth of it, one is going to work better at room temperature with colder water. The other one's going to work better in a larger variety of scenarios. But both of these are readily available. This came with this bucket here. These I just got on Amazon the other day, and readily available, very compact, and it's a two-step process. Basically, well, with the chlorine dioxide version, you're chlorinating the water, then you're letting the water rest for a period of time, and then you're dechlorinating the water and letting that chlorine escape from the water, and pouring it back and forth from bucket to bucket to bucket will accelerate that process of dechlorinization. And then you'll be left with good drinking water, but you need to give yourself some time to do that process. All of these are going to have the directions on the back of the package, so you don't have to remember any of it. You buy that, you're good to go.
Any questions? We've thrown a lot at you. Our desire was to give you a breadth, not the depth, but the breadth of things to consider. Where's the water going to come from? How are you going to get it? What are you going to do when you feel like you have a resource to get the water? How are you going to store it? And then how are you going to put it into a format that you can use? And so we've gone through heavy investment options down to lighter options. We've talked a little bit about how to do this at home. And then also we've given you a couple of mobile versions to consider. All have their pros and cons. You have heavy investment, but yet a large tank that you won't have to spend every other hour filtering more water to produce food. So you're going to have some time, and you're going to have effort, and then a little bit of investment now.
Corey's done a good job of several times throughout the talk here talking about essentially the concept of loving your neighbor. That list that I told you about of making a spreadsheet of your family and your water consumption needs. Okay, now you're all spun up. You got water storage. All that's great until what happens? Until your neighbor knocks on your door and needs some water. Okay? So if you've got the ability to do this, think about how many other people you could bless in a time of need. A great example of this is Hurricane Katrina. Okay? The internet technology guy I use is from Louisiana and lived in New Orleans when Katrina came through. And, you know, this is something that could be the result of not just a foreign country doing something to us. I mean, this is just a tornado, a hurricane, could completely shut down everything that you use on a daily basis and that you're accustomed to. And so you've got a unique opportunity at that period and point in time to be a blessing to your neighbors, to love your neighbors in a way that perhaps a lot of other people are not going to have the ability to do. Jesse said something in the last conference about imagine the unimaginable. Thinking outside of what we're accustomed to in our sphere of influence and thinking about how bad something could actually be. He also said, which Corey pointed out at the beginning of this talk, of it's time to think in terms of being a producer instead of a consumer. How could you produce to love your neighbor during a period of time when everybody else has encountered some type of shortage or outage, okay? So when I give you the example of going to your house and turning off the power, think in terms of that. Are you in a situation right now where you are immediately a refugee if something bad happens? Are you immediately going to be an encumbrance upon somebody else the nanosecond that something happens, okay? Now is our wake-up call. Now is our time to come together and encourage one another and educate one another. I've learned a lot from reading this outline that Corey put together, and it's been a blessing to me in understanding things that I haven't thought about as much and understand how I can be a better and better and better producer instead of just a consumer. So I encourage you to think in terms like that and think of ways that you can place yourself in a position to bless others when the period of time comes that's not going to be like this.
One of the things that, yes ma'am, Ms. Karen.
Besides the roof or contamination,
Yes. So if you had not or didn't put any gutters on your house or any outbuildings, Libby was kind enough to remind me to remember outbuildings. If you have barns or other facilities, anything with a roof, or really if you had, like you do, Karen, you have a grade at your house, you have an angle, you're on a hill, you have a big ditch, right? I also thought through, you have some plastic sheeting that's at your house. You can get a roll of 4 milliliter plastic sheeting at Lowe's. It's, I think, $40 for a big roll, and that's a good 12 foot wide by 100 feet long. And that can be put out on a short term, rain's coming, roll it out, and just like a slip and slide, and if you can catch it at the bottom, you know, there's an option. If you feel like you don't have, there's a roof that's just pretty terrible, that also is an option to use a plastic sheeting to guide that water, to catch that water and to guide that water, however you see fit. Some of those old survival where you bury the plastic and then you have a rock in the middle and the humidity pulls the humidity from the sand and the heat from the sun, that's like, you should have been prepared and you don't have to do that. That's like half a cup of water every 2 or 3 hours, and so it's not sufficient, and it takes heat to do that. Mm-hmm. So be creative. I think it's wonderful to be creative, and if you can't put $500 worth of gutters on there, but you can get a $40 roll of plastic, that's great. Get you a roll of plastic, get it rolled up on the sides, and figure out, and just have fun with it. And I think this is kind of the other side of this. Hey, I can collect my own water. I can put a slip and slide on this hill, and I can collect the water. The plastic's going to be clean because I want to roll it out right when it rains, and I'll be able to collect whatever I need. And I've got a small car, and I in the back seat I can put one 55-gallon barrel. So I'll go to the store and get a couple of those and put them in my garage, and I'll be ready. And so that's the diligence. I feel like God always desires us to be diligent and be prepared in order to bless others.
That's right.
The last piece that I wanted to think about, water is really crucial. And so if you do have a water and you do have a tank, people will see that tank. And so they're going to come and say, hey, we're out. And you got a decision. Now, to prepare for that decision, Preston's got a great example. And you can walk through what you do. But it can be replicated with thinking a little bit of extra thinking ahead of time in a couple of parts. And you'll have the avenue, the tools to bless someone without putting yourself in harm's way.
So I've got a concrete tank that you can't shoot a hole in. I've got an old school metal air motor windmill sitting next to it with a well that is filling it full anytime the wind is blowing. I've got a orchard of trees around it that are all plumbed off of it. So I'm actually using the water. It's not just storing and getting nasty. And what I did was I plumbed an extra line off of the manifold off of that tank out to the edge of my property. So if I had to, I can put a big stock tank, a cattle stock tank, 4 foot high thing, as big as that table, bigger than that table, out on the road, and I can run a PVC line, just a stub line off of the end of that run, off of my property, and anybody in the world can come drink all they want. All my neighbors, if you have cattle, if whatever you need, there's an infinite amount of water as long as we have rain, and the Lord's going to allow this to continue to produce. This is also going to kind of play into your property protection, your perimeter security plan, in that you're not giving anybody any reason at 3 o'clock in the morning to jump your fence and get into it with your dogs or whatever. I mean, you're not making somebody have to be in a position where they feel like they have to come steal water from you. You're giving it to them, okay? And that's a very easy thing to accomplish if you have some type of water system. We're just talking about PVC. That's applicable to any type of large tank water system. You're always going to have some overflow. If you go ahead and plumb that in and have it ready and get it out to the edge of your property, I would encourage you to do that.
Even if you have a well
and others don't. If people are in need, they will roam until they find a resource. And so if there's power and you still have well, you have pressure, but you've rolled out a hose all the way out to the driveway or all the way out to the road, or PVC for that matter, yeah. If you just had PVC, whether it's in the ground or not, it's real cheap. It's $1.10 yeah. per piece of PVC. Yeah. So you could run a long line. Absolutely. Take all the water you want, but just stay on the road and just turn it on and go for it. And you can put a sign out there. So those are not just the things to protect you, which it is. You've created distance between you and whoever that person is in need. Absolutely. You need water? There's a faucet right over there. Just something simple to think through. And you get to bless them and be safe.
That's right.
Does that make sense? Okay. Any questions or comments?
It's like drinking out of a fire hose to hear all of this in an hour and a half, but I want to encourage all of you. This is one of the best books I've found. And I mean, it's, 300 pages or something, real short. Scott Hunt is the fellow that wrote this. Scott and Lori Hunt are Christians. I believe they live in North Carolina. They've got a really awesome ministry where they go around the country doing this. And this book that he wrote is kind of a summary of everything about food, water, shelter, about defense, all the main things you would really need. If you bought one book about this subject matter and anything having to do with this conference series that the Gathering is putting on, it's titled Complete Guide to Disaster Preparedness. And he is a subject matter expert on it. I'd highly encourage you to go to Amazon or wherever and order this book. It's a great condensed concept of everything you'll need to know.
Yeah, one of the other resources. So not only providing you a map, but providing you some resources. What I'll do is we will send you the link to this website. It's called a mind map. And so all of these areas, Libby, if you'll slide over to all the areas, this is something that I felt really impressed upon me to put out there. And so each and every one of these categories has the little circle that you can click on and it expands. And then what I've done is I've tried to think of everything and put it in there for you to consider. And so then you can take it and use it. It's a read only, but you can make your own lists, or you can create, you can clone it and create your own. And go through and you can color code. What do you have? It's very reassuring to say, man, okay, this section, we do have pretty much everything taken care of. Or we've got everything but X. And it becomes your list. And it becomes a measurement or a feedback of, hey, okay, I'm halfway there. Because it can get pretty overwhelming yep. for me specifically and can be a little emotional. And so we wanted to provide a resource for you to be able to have that map and that compass. You have a desire to get to wherever you want to go. You feel like the Lord's leading you to go. This is a tool to help you navigate through that. So that's available. I'm putting as many links as possible. This bucket, I didn't mention it, but it's also available at NRA online. So it's $50 with the buckets, I believe. So it's a square bucket, so they're a little bit different. But it's a kit. And so that link is in there. There's some other links in there. Scott Hunt's website is in there in the link in the solar area. Also, Scott Hunt has a YouTube channel. It's called Practical Preppers, or it's called Engineer 775. And he goes from water storage to everything solar. And he's not just solar your entire house, and then you're okay, to he has very specific little DIY options. And he tells you the least cost alternative and how to get it done with the least amount of. He has a video on the simple pump. Mm-hmm. He has a video on other hand pumps. He talks about gravity, putting tanks up a little bit higher so that you have access to water just using gravity. So a lot of wisdom that he's, an investment he's put in there for your use. And again, they are an amazing couple. And so that's available for you. So the tools are there, the wisdom's there. Just go seek it out. And then above all, pray. and make sure you're in line with your spouse. When you're spending the money or thinking about it, sit down, go through your priority list of whatever the aspects that you're studying and trying to consider, and make sure you're in line with your partner, your spouse, and pray about it. What do I need to do and when? And God will provide that answer for you. So we'll continue to do this. Water is the first one since it's the most important, and we'll move on. What is the next one? Gardening is the next one? Okay. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
I brought some shungite rocks. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of shungite rocks water purification. They are simply rocks, and they have the ability to nullify, they kill bacteria, microbials. They also nullify chemicals in water. And it's scientifically proven. Put some research work on the table there about it.
Thank you.
I've tested it on our animal water with and without. I mean, we obviously know what happens in a day or two with the water sitting outside.
Right.
But you put that in, just that mason jar, into the big bucket of water, and it will not get mosquitoes, and it will not grow bacteria.
Okay. Well, thanks for bringing that.
Drink it. It'll actually detox your liver. It's got some really super health benefits to it. It's also an EMF neutralizer, electromagnetic radiation neutralizer. There's just an enormous amount of health benefits to it, and it's just rocks.
Awesome.
You can use them 10 million times.
Nice. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's over on the table right over here. Wonderful. Any other needs? Any other questions?
Corey.
Comments? Yeah.
So, you have a rain harvesting system set up. Your gutters going into a 500-gallon tank. You've got your screens on your gutters. You've got a pre-filter on your downspout. And you've got a relief valve that releases the first 5 minutes or something off the roof.
Yeah.
Question is, once it gets into your storage tank, what do you have to do to that water coming off of a composition roof, let's say, composition roof? What do you have to do to that water to filter it well enough?
That water still needs to go through a Berkey or a bucket system to drink. You can do anything else with that water. You can shower, wash dishes with soap, obviously, but to drink and to cook with, you need to still run it through a filter. They do have household filters that are good enough, and the rainwater harvest supply guy in Willow Park has those also, and he has multiple varying. One of the tools that he uses is a UV filter. It's the UV that just kills whatever goes through. And that's what he uses. He has a sediment filter, and then he has a UV filter, which doesn't go bad unless the light breaks. And so that's what he uses for his house. And he catches all the water he uses at his house. And he's got 6 people in his house, and he uses it for his garden. But he does have a bigger shop in the back. So he's like, I haven't used well water in 4 or 5 years. So it can be done. So what? You do have to have power for the UV. Yep. So get the UV and practice and have it there. But if you lose power, and again, if something does occur, it may not be everything at once. It may be just some folks trying to get the statue, or it could be the power goes out, or it could be the water plant is not functioning. So it could be a random source. So you have some options. You may have power for a little while. So run your water through the UV filter. Use the assets you have when they're available, and then always have just your last resort, like you're camping. I always go back to, instead of, I'm going to be like a prepper, I typically try to say, I want to be like an old pilgrim or homesteader that did it back in the day. It helps me emotionally, and I'm just going to put that out there.
That's good.
Or if I'm going to do like I'm camping, or I'm going to do like I was an old prairie homesteader, and I'm going to act like that and try to do what they did to thrive. So, did I answer your question? Okay, good. Any other questions, comments, or refinement? Any other thoughts? All right. Well, we appreciate you. Preston, thank you for all
you.
That you brought. I appreciate it. And we'll let you go. Feel free. We do have the filters over here on the left.
How much?
Yeah, the filters are available. They're $25. And again, that is what the church bought. They bought them for $25. They'll be for sale for $25. And when these two cases are empty, we'll get another two cases. They just have a minimum. Anything else, Kayla? All right. What's the next class?
Next week is gardening
and what else?
Oh, sourdough bread.
Sourdough bread.